Let's keep moving on, folks.
Excuse me, wonderful people, we gotta go back to work.
Okay, next item, 102, please.
Authorize city attorney to appeal judgment in Alan Lloyd Kessler v. City of Portland, Multnomah County Circuit Court, number 18CV43134.
Colleagues, I, like you, am committed to transparency in the city's handling of public records and improving the way we respond to public records requests throughout our city bureaus. That means keeping the cost reasonable. That means reducing any barriers to access as reasonable. The city attorney's office has made a clear case for why an appeal is necessary to the city to be able to comply with the intent of the judge's ruling. The public also needs clarity so that they know what to expect when making a public records request for which we can be held accountable. I support the appeal so that we can get this clarity. In the last 3 years, we've made improvements on how we handle public records requests, including hiring more personnel in the bureaus who are dedicated to the task, making technological improvements, and updating internal processes, and lowering, or even in many cases, waiving fees. We will continue to make improvements, and I look forward to the city being able to get the clarity we need to ensure that we are appropriately handling the approximately 30,000 public records requests that we receive each year. I'm going to go off my talking points for just one moment and say this. We are not thumbing our nose at Mr. Kessler or the judge. What we need is clarity to the specific legal requirements that were in the ruling. And those of us who are not attorneys, the way we would resolve that is we would pick up the phone and we would call and say, hey, what did you mean by this? That is not how it works in court. In order to get that level of clarity, we have to go back before the judge and seek that clarity. And so, again, the purpose here isn't to say the judge was wrong or that Mr. Kessler is wrong. This is the process which we must go through in order to secure that clarity on some very specific legal matters. And with that, I'll turn it over to staff, who actually are lawyers.
Thank you, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Karen Moynihan. I'm Chief Deputy City Attorney in the City Attorney's Office. We're asking Council today to authorize the City Attorney to file an appeal of the Multnomah County Circuit Court decision in the matter of Alan Kessler v. City of Portland. As the Mayor stated, the primary purpose that we seek this appeal is for clarification of the Circuit Court's ruling so the City can fully comply with the terms of the judgment, which we believe contains some vague and ambiguous provisions. In very short summary, because the facts are important, in August of 2018, Mr. Kessler filed a public records request seeking metadata related to certain city emails. Senior Deputy City Attorney Jennifer Johnston, who, as you know, handles legal matters related to public records, tried to find out if we actually could produce emails in the metadata format. She went to BTS. BTS researched the issue and said, no, they actually don't keep emails in metadata format. Ms. Johnston then contacted Mr. Kessler and offered to give him the emails in their native format. Mr. Kessler, as is his right, declined and sought an appeal with the district attorney. The district attorney agreed with the city that it did not have to produce documents in a format that it did not keep and ordered the city to provide Mr. Kessler with the emails in whatever format we hold those emails and to do so within a certain time frame. The city did that. 4 weeks later, the city produced all of the non-privileged records to Mr. Kessler. Mr. Kessler then, and at that time, the city had billed Mr. Kessler $311 for his public record search. Mr. Kessler filed a suit in circuit court alleging that the city had not given him all of the documents, asking for the documents in metadata format, and also saying that the city's production was untimely and the city had overcharged him for the records. We went to trial. After trial, the court issued a decision and actually found in the city's favor in all of the claims, except the court did find that Mr. Kessler was correct, that the city had overcharged him. Now, with respect to that allegation, there's two important points for you to understand today. First, Mr. Kessler had asserted that the city overcharged him for 15 minutes of work that it had not actually provided. and that the salary of the individual who performed the record search was actually about $10 less than what Mr. Kessler was billed for. And prior to trial, we looked at that issue, and we agreed that Mr. Kessler was correct. We calculated what the difference was, what he was overcharged, and in abundance of caution, we cut him a check for $52, which was far above what the overpayment actually was. The second point with respect to billing is that the judge ruled that BTS uses what she believes are overqualified employees to perform the searches and therefore charged Mr. Kessler too much. The judge ordered the city to recalculate the fee that it charged Mr. Kessler using the lowest hourly rate charged by any department personnel who could be responsible for responding to the public records request. The city has since recalculated that difference and found that the $52 that it had previously paid Mr. Kessler prior to trial adequately also covered him for that overcharge. The city attorney's office is particularly concerned that the judge's order enjoins the city from charging what it termed to be excessive fees because it could subject the city to contempt proceedings for any erroneous overcalculation or if a judge disagrees with the city's designation of which employee conducts a public records email search. It's also important to note that Mr. Kessler has filed a claim for attorney's fees in the amount of $120,000 to compensate him for winning on the claim that the city overcharged him by $52, which again, we reimbursed prior to trial. Therefore, we're seeking authorization to file an appeal so we may seek clarification of the court's judgment to ensure that city bureaus are fully complying with the spirit and the letter of the Oregon Public Records Act. And with that, Ms. Johnston will explain what measures the city has taken to reduce the cost of record searches to the public.
As this council knows, it authorized the city attorney's office to have a city attorney work full-time on public records issues. As part of that, I provide training to members of every bureau so that they understand this council's direction, that we want public records provided quickly, we want to increase transparency, and we want to comply with the legal standard that the presumption is that records should be disclosed. I meet with them at least monthly, if not more frequently, to provide that training. As part of that, we've also implemented an online records request system to make records more accessible to everyone, but we also have an online helpline in case there are people who have difficulty using the online system, because we also want to keep equitable issues in mind, and we don't want our records to be inaccessible just because someone cannot access a computer system. Council also, in the last budget cycle, authorized the city attorney's office to hire another person to focus on assisting in electronic record searches, particularly text and email searches, and we would be able to waive the fees associated with those collections, and we are in the process of hiring that person. That will also allow us to run test searches to better narrow requests so that we can reduce cost for review time and better provide the records that people are actually seeking and not records that are less useful to them. The city has also invested in additional technologies and programs to better review and collect documents, again, so that we can provide people the records they want and not spend or charge them for reviewing unresponsive records. While we are working on hiring that person, BTS in the meantime has changed the way it calculates refunds to make sure we're refunding any overcharges. Additionally, it is charging the lowest rate for a person available to perform searches regardless of who actually does it. There are times that the city in its judgment decides to have a higher skilled person with better skills and professional capacity perform certain aspects of a search, but we still charge the lower rate. So that is also reducing the cost of those searches. As you know, the Police Bureau has also waived fees for crime victims when they're requesting police reports. The Police Bureau and Bureau of Development Services offer economic fee waivers, which are not required by law, but also assist people who need records, but it would cause them an economic hardship to pay for those records. All bureaus grant public interest fee waivers. Most bureaus that can complete a request in 30 minutes or less also waive those fees. all bureaus that charge prepaid fees based on a time study for those fees are in the process of reviewing the fees to update the fee schedule by June. Bureaus do this periodically as employee salaries changes, but also as efficiencies for gathering those records change in the hopes that we'll be able to reduce those prepaid fees as well.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Commissioner Udalia.
Thank you, Mayor. My only question is about efficiencies you mentioned. It's my understanding that our systems pose some challenges that potentially make those searches more difficult and lengthy. Is that
something you could speak to? When we moved to Office 365, it actually decreased the fees for those searches. Before Office 365, we had to individually search each person's email box. And so your ability to, for example, ask for a search for all the emails in Commissioner Udaly's office, that was fairly expensive because each email box would have to be searched individually. The bureaus that are on Office 365, which is all bureaus excluding the Police Bureau, we can now search, you know, do group searches in one search. So we can now do that much more quickly and upload those. So I would disagree that some of that technology has made things more expensive, and what I have seen has made it much more cheap, and we're getting lots more searches for that. The other thing is, before the city implemented a text archive system to search for someone's text messages, we would have to obtain their phone, download it, and then search for their text messages. That was very time consuming and quite expensive. Because the city invested in a text message archive system, we can now search for those text messages much more cheaply and quickly and make those available much more cheaply. And again, because this council authorized a person to do those collections, once that person is hired, the time spent collecting those records, we're going to be able to waive those fees and not charge for that time, you know, doing those searches and gathering those records. Does that?
So we've made improvements even just in the last couple of years.
Oh, yes. Okay. And we continually look for different ways to do that. And as part of the training and my work with the bureaus, we're also looking for things we can proactively post. The idea being the more information we can make available to the public that they can self-serve. And there are lots of bureaus that have initiatives to do that so that the public can access records in that way. So they don't even have to make a public records request. I mean, probably one of our greatest long-term points of that is our e-file system with all of our council documents and lots of other documents. But there's lots of other examples where bureaus are actively working to figure out ways that we can make records available to post. It's just that, you know, one of the areas that people want records, which are emails and text, are not going to be available in e-files, and so we are going to have to continue to search them. But we have also bought new technology to enable us to do those searches more efficiently, narrow down those requests better, and instead of getting 5,000 records where only 500 of them actually are responsive and we had to look through all 5,000, our technology will enable us to narrow it down to those 500, only review those 500 for the limited exemptions under the law, and then provide them. And the reason we do still review for those exemptions is most city employees view the information that the public has provided to us as something of a public trust. And there is confidential information that the public provides us. And we don't want to inadvertently release information about a sex abuse victim or someone who's come forward bravely with a complaint so that we can investigate it to make our city better, and then we release that information and something negative happens to that person. And so we do believe that taking the time to look at the records to make sure that we aren't betraying that trust is time that we need to invest as a city.
So with the 30-minute forgiveness, or however we characterize that, a number of these requests end up being free. Is that correct?
Yes.
And can you give me a sense of percentage?
I don't have a percentage off the top of my head. I can tell you that the greatest number of fees are paid by commercial requesters to the Portland Police Bureau, and for the rest of the bureaus, the amount of fees they take in is less. I will also tell you, as part of the fee review project we're undergoing, the bureaus are investigating whether or not they can raise that waiver amount. It's just that with the economic situation that we have, we want to balance that fee waiver against the other interest that the council has, so that, you know, that direction is not causing a budget impact that y'all don't want.
That gets to my final question, which is, if we did raise that threshold, say, to an hour, I would want to know what percentage of the requests would be covered within that hour, and also what the estimated costs would be. I don't expect you to be able to answer that today, but those are two things that I'm going to need to take into consideration.
We've asked the bureaus to start looking into that, and we have not been tracking the records request in that way, so it's difficult to pull out the data in quite that way.
All right. Thank you.
Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you. Commissioner Udaly made me think of another question. So is it different if it's an individual requesting information than if there's a commercial interest that's requesting information?
Well, yes and no. I mean, the law does not treat those people differently, and we don't, in many circumstances, get to ask why you're making the request. However, the public interest fee waiver, which asks, you know, whether you're making a request in the public's interest, generally most commercial requesters could not meet those standards. The voluntary fee waivers that the city has set up for economic fee waivers, most commercial requesters could not meet those. So that's a voluntary program that the city has set up that's not required by law. And so in those circumstances, we do look at individuals who, as I said, need the records, but it would cause them an economic hardship. And like the police bureau and BDS, you know, try and waive those costs in those cases. I should also say, for BDS, if you go into the permit center and you're an owner or occupant, you can get your the permits on your home for free, which is another way, again, that people who are members of the public and not commercial requesters can get those records for free.
I have to say, I'm concerned about the electronic access, because we just heard this week there's a city in Oregon who had spyware and their entire computer systems are compromised. And so I absolutely believe in transparency, certainly want the public to have access to information, certainly want us to be reasonable when it comes to putting a cost on it. And I do think that there are categories that we should just not be charging people for that information. And so the question that will be asked of the court is what?
For the appeal?
Yes.
Do you want to speak to that?
Sure. We're going to ask the court to clarify what exactly are the requirements with respect to clarify what is excessive fees, because we do have a question, since the court, in the judge's opinion, she actually said that the BTS employees who are running these searches were actually too highly paid to do that. Right. And one of the concerns that BTS has, which is a very critical concern, they require that the folks who run these citywide searches actually have security clearances and training, because as you can imagine, they're looking at every single city email, including confidential attorney-client, again, the sex victims, that sort of thing. So BTS already believes that the employees it has running these searches, if they charge at the lowest salary for a qualified employee, that's sufficient. But we do need clarity from the court, because the way the opinion reads, it truly could be any BTS employee, and we have confidence that someone can be trained. It's the security clearance that's more of a concern. That's our bigger one of the issues. The other issue is the fact that the court's issued an injunction against us from charging excessive fees. That's a bit problematic, because first of all, there's a lot of case law that a court can't enjoin a city or a government to comply with the law, that's a presumption that a government will comply with the law. How that plays out is if, for example, there is a question as to whether a fee is excessive, rather than been going through the process that's laid out in the Public Records Act, going to the district attorney, then going to circuit court. A litigant can go straight to circuit court and say, City of Portland has overcharged me, therefore we ask that you hold the city in contempt of court. And that could be
a nightmare.
It could be a nightmare. And so we really just want to maintain the process, which gives rights to both sides of the parties, and make sure that we all know what path that we should be on.
Could I ask a question? How many public records requests do we get citywide? And the reason I ask that is we don't just get a couple of records in our office. We get lots of requests for public records, and we have the same staff that everybody else has here. How many do we get?
It's well over 30,000. The police bureau alone gets over 22,000, and those are approximate because those numbers are increasing. And they have been increasing every year. And those numbers are also slightly undercounting. For example, people who go into the permit center, those numbers don't always include all the owner-occupant ones that we fill there in the permit center. That we're working to get those counted in GovQA as well. We do get the most public records requests of any entity in the state of Oregon. And when I last compared, we were getting more than the city of Seattle. So we're number one.
Again.
And we're only the fifth most passive-aggressive city in the nation. What happened?
Fifth?
Yeah.
Oh, we're losing ground.
We're sliding.
But on the other hand, I mean, I'm so proud that we are providing records to 30,000 people. I mean, that is just such a wonderful thing that our city can do. And I'm so proud of our online system that makes those records available. We used to have trouble emailing large files and they get bounced back. And it was just hard for requesters to get some of this stuff. It is all available now. We can upload those files. They can access them for up to 2 years. You know, it's not like I misplaced them or lost them. They have them. I feel like the level of customer service we're able to provide people on public records has really stepped up. I think it's a wonderful thing. I think we're going to continue working on that. We're still not where I know this council wants us to be, and I'm happy to say that, you know, the bureaus are continuing to work with me on that, and we're going to get there for the people of the city of Portland and the other members of the public who are making requests. And one step is to make sure that we understand what the court wants from us, because needless to say, as lawyers, job number one is to comply with the law, and we cannot do that unless we're sure what they want.
Right, and I just want to, you know, I think you're being pretty hard on yourself as well. You know, we have adopted technologies like SMARSH, and I think that was a game changer, right? In terms of text messages, it pretty much saves everything. It's easy, push button, out you go. So as technologies continue to be developed, and as, you know, in my personal view, as open source becomes more and more of a viable option for public records disclosure, I think that will make a difference. The part I'm just not sure how we ever get around without good old-fashioned hard line-by-line labor is this question of privacy. And I'm thinking back to a very specific incident, you know, in the first 3 years that I was here, where we erred on the side of public disclosure for a large file of documents from the police bureau. And frankly, we blew it, because by disclosing those documents, buried 15,000 pages into the documents was some personal information. And that was really unfortunate. And so we're going to have to continue to figure out, how do we use technologies? How do we use our staff effectively? How do we err on the side of public disclosure, but in the process not make a big mistake by disclosing something that the public would be equally upset about having become public information? And I feel like you guys are frankly doing a good job of trying to find that right balance.
Thanks.
It's not an easy job. I don't get to talk to you that often, so I wanted to acknowledge that.
That's because I'm reviewing emails for private information.
All right, Commissioner Udaley?
Commissioner Reed, did you want to jump in?
I did have one more question.
Yeah. Thanks. And my question was 30,000 requests a year. Could you give me an estimate of how many are individual requests and how many are commercial requests? Because I think it is different. I know the policy might not look different, but it should be. Because I think if somebody is doing a public records request, because they stand to make a financial gain from that request, as compared to someone, say, whose car, they need a report of a car break-in, a house break-in, or something like that, right? So do you have a number?
I'm going to give you a very approximate number.
Okay. I won't hold you to it.
Because I'm not under oath.
I know as an attorney, I know that's hard. But.
I think our commercial request to the police bureau are around 18,000. I thought they got between 1,500 and 2,000 a month. You know, so it varies. It goes up and down. There are commercial requesters who make requests to the police bureau on behalf of entities and or who resell that information to entities.
Right, right.
And so I know the police bureau is looking at, you know, methods to make it easier for the public to get their information. You know, people need their reports for their stolen vehicle or their identity theft, while also dealing with this volume of commercial requesters, which we are required by law to fill in the same manner.
So can we change the law? Whose law?
It's the state legislature who set that up. Other states have different laws about commercial requesters and about, like, state residents versus out-of-state residents. The state of Oregon does not. And, you know, I don't want to spend too much time on those policies, but it is a burden on the people of the city of Portland. Because even though we charge fees for all of these requests, none of those fees fully compensate the city for the cost of the staff that are filling those records. So to some level, we are subsidizing every single request. And so it may be only a few dollars of staff time on some of those commercial requests, but we are subsidizing them you know, to a small degree, because we do not charge our full staff rates. We charge staff time plus 39%, which is benefits, which is not actual overhead, so it doesn't represent the full cost of staff time. And part of that was done to charge a lower staff rate for public records requests, which is good for the public. That was another choice council made, and it's a good choice for the public to charge the lower staff rate. But, you know, since we do that across the board, commercial requesters also get that benefit, so those are also subsidized by the people of the city of Portland.
Interesting. Mayor?
Very good, Commissioner Daly.
I have what I consider a friendly amendment to offer. First, I want to disclose, of course, I work for the city. I work with the city attorneys, and my office and bureaus receive public information requests. I also am personally acquainted with Alan Kessler, although I have had zero conversations with him about this case or about public records requests in general. I absolutely believe that the city must have a transparent, timely, accessible process for public records requests, but I am very interested in this issue of the distinction between members of the public and commercial entities. We can't get to that today. This is fascinating to me. I don't know if that makes me even more of a nerd, I guess, but, you know, I'm interested in expanding the forgiveness to an hour. I really do want to make these requests accessible. However, we know that we get frivolous requests. We know that we get broad-reaching requests, and that it, obviously with $30,000 a year, it can be incredibly costly, and so we have to balance the public interests of access to those requests and the public interests of us not hemorrhaging money to fulfill frivolous requests or requests for people seeking to make a profit off of the information. So I want to be clear that this resolution is not seeking to overturn the judgment in favor of Mr. Kessler that resulted in a refund. It is narrowly focused on the question of the injunction and what the judge meant by reasonable costs. Is that the right terminology?
Reasonable fees.
Reasonable fees, so that we can remain in compliance and not be repeatedly accused of being in contempt of court, mm-hmm. because that would be another very costly reality for the city. So this is the language that we've come up with after conversations with the city attorney's office. It would be inserted after the first, therefore be it resolved, and it would read, be it further resolved, the city is already taking steps to have a records fee policy that ensures transparency, and thus the city should enter into settlement discussions during the pendency of the appeal to resolve the case.
Okay, I'll ask the question.
Second.
What is a pendency? Yeah.
Just pending, you could say pending while the appeal is pending. So that way
that's
we could continue. We need to go ahead and file the appeal because we have certain timelines, and if we don't go ahead and file the appeal, then we waive our ability to do so. But we could go ahead and enter into negotiations while we are handling that appeal.
Okay, so Commissioner Daly has made a motion. Commissioner Hardesty has seconded it. Any further discussion on the amendment? Why don't we go ahead and take the roll on the amendment? I think it's not controversial. I think it's an important one.
Thank
Carla,
you.
Please call the roll.
Fritz?
Aye.
Hardesty?
Aye.
Udaly?
Thank you. Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. The amendment's on the table. Thank you for that clarification. All right. Public testimony.
We have three people signed up.
Great.
Lightning Super Karma, Emily Green, and Charles Bridge Crane Johnson.
Good morning. Would you like to start, please?
Doesn't matter which one. Somebody.
Lightning likes to go in order that it was called.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes, my name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Super Karma. My understanding, Mr. Kessler asked for the format to be in metadata form, and you came back and said you can provide it in native form. Now, my question is, do algorithms, are they exempt from the public record law? And it's my understanding they are. And where this gets into a confusion is that your software platform, GovQA, said they could provide that to him, but it would take time. It might take a lot of hours. In fact, they even came back with a certain amount of hours, almost like 6,500 hours to do this. But he did make that request. Now, then what he did, he took it a little bit farther, he went into court, and they came back. And now it appears to me the biggest problem right here is they already said that we're going to charge the lower fee, so you'll be okay on that, even though you might have to pay someone higher, so you kind of subsidize it. But my biggest problem I think they have is paying that $120,000 in attorney fees to Mr. Kessler. Now, no disrespect to Mr. Kessler, who's probably listening, I assume you're an attorney. Maybe you're not. But $120,000 is a good amount to pay. The city has an issue with that. I think what they should do is try to negotiate with him, come to a lower price, and understand they did make statements to him that they could provide that to him. It might take longer. And again, GovQA said that they could, but it's going to take longer and it's going to take a lot of money to do that. So this is an interesting situation here because basically he has every right to get that data, but he's requesting it in a different format, not the one that is available and not the one that basically you maintain. He didn't want that. He wanted something different and something created, which the company said they could do. And so I find it interesting that you're kind of going back and forth on this issue that you want to save a little bit of money and understand what these attorneys already know because they are good attorneys. You just don't want to pay him the $120,000 attorney fee. Forget the appeal, pay him the $120,000, and let this be a lesson learned. Don't make statements and then don't deliver, because they will take you to court. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Emily Green on behalf of the Oregon Territory Chapter of the Society of Professional Journalists. As a member of the Freedom of Information Committee under that chapter and in my capacity as a senior staff reporter at Street Roots, I am urging you today to commit to transparency and the accessibility of public records rather than appealing this case, which instead would be using public resources to fight transparency. We believe the ruling is clear. Don't violate the law. Do not charge excessive fees. To appeal would be sending the wrong message. It would be one that would, on its surface, appear to double down on government secrecy. As a reporter in the city, I am often baffled with the difficulty and high cost of obtaining public records, especially as it compares to other large cities. This includes obtaining records through GovQA. I found it much easier using Seattle's version of GovQA to obtain records, whereas Portland's is often bogged down with excessive questions. And using it in lieu of an actual person to obtain records, figure out what records you need, is burdensome. And I want to be clear, every time a newsroom kills a story because the fees to obtain records to tell that story are too high, as Street Roots has had to do a number of times, every time that happens, it is an affront to the Fourth Estate. It is a gut punch to democracy itself. The Oregon Territory Chapter of the Society of Professional Journalists encourages the council to reject this appeal and pursue best practices reforms. In September 2018, at the request of Mayor Wheeler's chief of staff at the time, SPJ facilitated a discussion and input from 15 reporters who cover City Hall. The findings of that input request echoed the findings of the judge's ruling in that the city is often charging excessive fees and this may in fact violate public records law. SPJ urges the city to review records fee practices to ensure transparency and to adopt an ordinance or policy to ensure compliance with the law. In closing, I just want to say, you know, there always seems to be this idea that complying with public records requests is an additional service of the city, when in fact it is at the core of your duty as public servants. This is not a benign policy error. In addition to distorting the culture within bureaus as to their relationship and responsibilities to the public, high fees stifle public engagement and government accountability. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Now it's time to say good afternoon, commissioners. When trying to keep track, Charles Bridgecrane Johnson for the record, and when trying to keep track of the awesome women journalists working in the Portland area, it's sometimes hard to keep track of who's the Mercury, who is or was at the Oregonian, et cetera. It seemed to me that the Emily Green byline was also on a story about how many houseless people we pack into our jails that the city auditor upheld the second year. We didn't get any better at that. But getting back to the issue at hand, well, first we'll address Mr. Lightning's question. There's two plaintiffs' counsels going after the city. One is Mr. Kessler, who is an attorney, and he has a co-counsel. But the part that really strikes me is right there at the very beginning of your first whereas. At the beginning of the whereas, it says that these records were requested regarding just an singular historic landmark commissioner. So what did our wonderful, compassionate city decide and discover? That there were about 3,500 pages from one commissioner, one historic landmarks commissioner. There was third whereas where that information is, or is it the fourth one, I guess, where you disclose about 3,500 pages of documents to the plaintiff in native format. That's an oxymoron. Pages are pieces of paper. You disclosed an amount of data, a number of bytes or something. That's what the native format is because it's an email. So I'm very glad that Ms. Green came up here to, I can't characterize it as whether she berated you, but she enthusiastically encouraged you to pursue best practices. And your very own craptastic document goes down to the very end of page 2 and hides the amount. It was disclosed in the testimony, but of the $120,000 of possible attorney's fees. So you're not doing a very good job just with this item. I very much appreciate the wide-ranging discussion we had. But when we start with a whereas that talks about the Historic Landmarks Commission, one single commissioner on there, and we get into a craptastic conversation that says, what about victims of domestic violence? Courts can narrow the scope. Lawyers can narrow the scope. So for you to use a situation where we have a Historic Landmark Commissioner and then interject the idea that, well, maybe the Historic Landmark Commissioner and whichever bureau this was, Development Services, we're talking about secret, confidential, private, personal information, is not best practices for y'all. So the last time we had an appeal we got excited about, I think, went back to the death of the COAB. And fortunately, the PSEP that replaced it turned out good. So maybe, you know, I'm not saying yay or nay on whether you pursue this appeal, but let's get the nuts and bolts right and have a generalized annual report about how we're improving on public records requests and those hours or half-hour increments. Thanks very much.
Thank you both. That completes public testimony. This is a resolution. Call the roll.
Fritz?
Aye.
Hardesty.
Aye.
Udaly.
I just want to appreciate Rachel Alexander for coming to testify today. I fully support the best practices reforms detailed in the testimony that Society of Professional Journalists submitted. However, I respectfully disagree that this resolution would in any way hinder those efforts. It is narrowly focused on the injunction by the judge that would put us in contempt of court if we were determined to have overcharged someone a few dollars for a public record request, and that it would be irresponsible for this council to leave that liability open. I vote aye.
Wheeler.
The only way to get clarification on the meaning of the word excessive is to appeal. I'd love to be able to just take the judge out, have a beer, have this clarified, but that is not the process that we have here in America. We have a legal system. The judge will not be offended by our bringing this back to ask the question. I think it would be utterly irresponsible of us not to get that clarification. And to equate us asking the clarification with being anti-public disclosure or anti-free press, I think, frankly, is a ridiculous comparison, and I reject it. I vote aye. The resolution is adopted. Good luck.